We want to say hello to two very young members. I want to say hello to Lorraine and Chrissy. Hi, welcome. You can have a big lunch afterwards, okay? And DJ says can eat a lot. Can take home too. All right. All right. A few questions to bring up for learning, and then we go on into this. Okay. Well, let's pray once again. Our Father, we pray that you will open our understanding further. Help us to desire that we would see beyond just our mind's eye can fathom, but to understand even as our spirits enter into communion with the Spirit of God, bringing about a knowledge and a conviction that is so deep, our whole life would be changed. We pray that you would bless as we meet once again to study very carefully your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now this is a good question that was raised just a while ago. There's so much is involved, for example, where we use the word mind. How about a psychopath? Can this person be saved? And I think you have to understand the nature of it. If ever there was a psychopath that I had, that I knew, that I years and years ago, was this man. And he was very sadistic. He is a psychopath, very sadistically inclined. Only problem is that he worked in the name of the law. Not every killer is necessarily on the other side of the law. He likes the use of the law because it gives him opportunity to shoot people. He gives him the edge. In the law, he can be very cruel to people. And in some countries, best not made known. This particular person that I knew would use the means that was available to him, the law, to inflict tremendous damage to his victims. And it's something that is pretty scary. This was reported in Japan. Japan, for example, has a 95% conviction of all known criminals. That's the highest ever rate. Because nobody has a 95% success or higher. Then they examined and they said, if they suspect a person is guilty, he already is. And they will bring policemen, detectives, the whole lot, everybody down there to nail this person as guilty, whether or not he is. That is Japanese criminal law at work today. And there were instances where people were not guilty. And they protested. Many of them committed suicide because they could not take the pressure. So this friend, one day came under tremendous conviction as the message of sin gripped his heart. He finally came to me and he said, Pastor, 3 days now, I have not eaten, I have not slept, I have just wept over my sins. Almost like Paul. I cannot forget the people I injured, the bones I have broken, the girls I have raped. You name them. Pastor, I have committed every single one of them to get what I want. Criminal conviction. So that my record is so strong. And I am acclaimed as one of the best detectives. And he said, it's all wrong. So I asked him, what are you going to do? He wept even as he spoke. He's a grown man, 40 years old. And he wept. And he says, I know this. I cannot remain in this line of profession. Because if I stay here, even God forgives me, I know I will go back to my old ways. And he left his job. And he left with hope and fear in his heart as well. That's a terrible thing. Can God redeem a person? Yes. Yes. But I tell you, if you have gone into psychopathic thing, if anything breaks through past your feelings, you will come under such great conviction, you will weep. You can't get out of it easily. 1,000 times a day you will ask God forgiveness. You will ask His forgiveness again and again. You will not find that peace easily. Satan will haunt you. Sin will hit you. And the only way out is what we're going to study shortly. The new man. There's no other way. There is no way in which we can allow this, you know, this to be compromised. Okay? Is there yet redemption? Yes. But rarely. This is what Paul's experience was when he dealt with his sin. 3 days he was blind. That was God's discipline on him. That was God's chastening. Paul, I will show you how blind you have been. You will be blind physically. You were so full of yourself, so arrogant, so everything about you. You're so insolent. I will show you what happens if you are now blinded. And for 3 days, the only thing he did was to pray. So when Ananias was told, go to him, he said, I'm going to send you to Paul or Saul. Behold, he prays. You want to know real repentance? Automatically, you will be driven to seek God in prayer. Nothing less. And there you will stay till God allows that to pass. Okay, now here is another question. With reference to yesterday's message, does it mean that so long as we are diligent in our ministry or works, we make that call and election sure? Now, this is what does it mean? Okay, now what does it mean to make our election sure? All right, let's take a look a bit slowly. Okay, let's go back to 2 Peter for a while so that we can understand this idea of 2 Peter 1. Okay. First, let's talk about a calling. A, to salvation. Can I be very sure of my salvation? Yes, by the fruits that I produce in my life. That's absolutely clear and evident. Not my words, not my intentions, not my purposes. Don't be fooled by these things. By their fruits you shall know them. Salvation. Okay? B. Remember? Save from, save to. Service. Now, I am called to serve. If I am diligent, this diligence of mine will ensure that service is intact. Yes. Now, this is very important we understand this. Okay? Now, it could be, if you are, it could be, let's say that you suddenly lack that diligence. You may be a concert pianist once upon a time. You lose that practice. You don't touch it. You may call yourself a concert pianist, except there are no concerts. Nobody will take you on. Obviously. It does not matter who you are, what name you have. There we go. In the papers, or in the news media, and it was very, very obvious, there are many of these teen stars. And these teen stars are the rave. But many of them cannot live up to the pressure of an intensely public life. And so they get into drink driving. They get into drugs. And the news hounds hype those things up. They go into drug rehabilitation, they report. They go into drink rehabilitation, they will report. Any concert failure, they will report. And it can be really, really bad. But they were on top of the game for a while. And then they suddenly fade. Can it happen? Yes. That's in the music industry. What about the tennis industry? Or in tennis area? We have one person I really, really think, hey, this guy is almost unbeatable. His name is called Roger Federer. He has only one title since last year. That's it. He has been defeated by just about everybody, including the China Open. Went in, he didn't even make it to the quarterfinals. He was knocked out unceremoniously. Number one. He's no longer number one. And his standing will slide further if he's not careful. There is no such thing as I am a guaranteed thing. Nobody has a guarantee on anything, including yours truly as a pastoral ministry. Let us say that today you hear poorly prepared messages, I'm talking rubbish, and you know, I'm speaking, well, don't know what you're talking about, and I try and cover it all by using Greek. No, seriously. First, I can't live with myself. Two, you know the Lord cannot, will not bless. Three, I won't last very long. I know I won't last very long. I've seen senior pastors lose their role, their work, because they've lost touch with what they need to. Can it happen in a pastoral ministry? Yes. Don't kid yourself about it. I do not take for granted that just because I'm the founder of the church, my position is forever secure. There is no such thing. Is it not true also, if you have too many of your surgeons always ending in death, they would be queried. Hello, what happened? You know, every week, Jane kills somebody. Every week. I don't think you will last very long. And in Tan Tock Seng, or even if you put in the private practice, your name will go with you. Sure. You can't, they will take the license from you. You don't have a license to kill. Unless it's Jane Tan, 007. Then it's truly a license to kill. You do not have that. And that's a fact. Nobody has that right. This is why diligence must be there. You are called salvation. Mercifully, God in His grace has determined that we will be saved forever, but not for service. You must understand this. Nobody is in for service. Whether you are king, prophet, or priest, it does not matter. You are only men. You are only servant. That's all there is to it. So unless we, with reference to this, does it mean that we are diligent, we can make our calling and our election sure? Yes. Yes. And I know my calling cannot just simply be, I say it. I have to prove it. I have to prove it by the way Bethany is being led. I have to prove it by the way I make decisions. I have to prove it by the way the ministries are there. It's very easy. Don't just have YAG. Just delegate to other people. Don't do anything. It can happen. Oh no, no, it's not going to happen because I don't believe in it. I am making my calling and my election sure. It's absolutely important. All right, this is the third question. Is it possible if we are diligent with our ministry and work, it may not be our calling in that particular ministry? Yes. If God has given you a natural voice, no sharp, no flats. Okay? And you want to diligently practice singing, and it always comes out the same note. No matter what you want to say or defend, that is not your calling. Absolutely not. You say, my calling is in the kitchen. And you irritate everybody. The cooks want to throw knives at you. And you create a serious problem because you don't know where everything is. Where's the knife? How do I wash it? Where do I dry it? Where do I put it? That knife will be used for other purposes. That is not your calling. It is very, very obvious. Am I making sense to you? No matter what it is. Sharon, don't mind if I borrow you as an example. Sharon's joy and love would be to be a pastor. Yes, now she is shepherding one boy. That's very good already. Is it not? No, I'm serious. And I will tell you, no, that's not. And very humbly, she says, I understand. I accept that. But you know, she's happier there. Rather than to, you want to take my place? Exactly the point. You see, if you are not suited for any particular ministry. I was just talking to Mark yesterday. I said, Mark, do you remember when you first came in? He does not, he's just like any one of you. He's just like any one of you. But there's one thing about Mark which I have always liked. Day after his exam at Curtin University, he'll be back here. And he'll be here to serve. After he finishes university, he was, go ahead, take a holiday. No, 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 I want to be back here because I want to serve. That's Pastor Mark. You can tell whether the Spirit is there or is not. You see, it's not just saying, and diligent is proving it. It's not saying that I want to be diligent. If you are not suited for a particular ministry, it will become very obvious. I had a young man who came to me once upon a time and he said, you know, I really would like to be a doctor. I said, well, that sounds good. He was doing his A-level, doing science. I said, that sounds good, but you're going to work very, very hard for that. So I said, okay, you know, can you guide me? So one day, there was a little bit of a bicycle accident, and I was many years ago, and I was staying at 69 Jalan Redop then. The bicycle came over, and injury, blood all over the place, came over to see me, and this young man was there. And as I dressed the wound of this person who, had a nasty bicycle accident, this other young man who was with him, I heard suddenly, what happened? He said, Pastor, when I see blood, that's what happens. I just, boom. So I told him, I said, don't think medicine. That is not going to be what you are called to do. And he wasn't. Obviously. Can you see what I'm trying to say? See, many, many things. Many people say, you know, I am available. Remember, this is a real trick question. Some people say, God is not looking for your ability, only your availability. That is absolutely not true. You are available to be the president of Singapore. You are available. Let's make you able. A lot of us are available for a lot of things. You're just not able. Ability, as far as serving God is concerned, is of critical importance. It's so obvious. So is it possible for a mistaken calling? Yes. Is it possible that you're not suitable for it? Yes. Let's say I'm very interested in sports and I really want to have do sports and all these things. Problem is I have got knee problem. Can I play squash? Join you, Victor? You please give me chance. No matter how gracious Victor can be towards me, I cannot, no matter what, I cannot say, this is your old pastor, you better let me. There is no way you can survive in the squash circuit if you have got knee problems. Finish. It's not your calling. So there's a lot of common sense thing about this idea of calling. Please don't make it mysterious. I am calling you, come. No, it's not how it works. There's a down-to-earth, nitty-gritty detail about this idea. Yes, this is absolutely important. So if you are not called in any particular ministry, there's some people who say that I like to serve in the children's ministry, but I can't stand children. It does not work. I love to be with the old people, but I find them boring. There is no such thing. You know, I like to help people who are suffering from cancer. When do I put them to death? Well, there you go. You have all sorts of crazy situations. It does not work that way. Okay? When God gives a definite calling, He will also give all the things that are necessary for you to fulfill that calling. If those things are not given, it's not yours. But if they are given, they are not utilized. Can you lose that ministry? Yes. Anything can be lost. Muscles can atrophy. Calling can disappear. Of course. You came too late. The 11th hour is gone. There is no more time left. It's only the short period of time. It's over. I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. It's really challenging to see this whole idea of the here and now. You've got to make this calling sure. Okay? And I know many people say, oh, I'm retired now. I'm free to serve the Lord. Yeah, I know you're retired and you're free. It doesn't make you able. Okay? It really doesn't make you able. Sometimes people ask me, says, Pastor, I'm free now. Last time I used to be a clerk or secretary. Can I work with you? I say, yeah, you want to work with me? Fine. You give it 1 week, think first, very carefully, see whether you can work with me. 1 month passed, you say, Pastor, I think I better enjoy my retirement. I don't think I can stand the strain of it all, the work. I say, yeah, made a very wise decision. It's not everybody. Many people think that work in the church is freer. It's so good, no? Wow, everything prayed for, everything wonderful. Don't kid yourself. It's not how it works. It's not how it works at all. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, can you just use that? Yeah. Okay. All right, let's take a look at this idea of let's turn to 2 Peter again. Let's take a look at 2 Peter and let's look at the text very carefully. Why we use those words. 1:10. Okay, therefore, brethren. Okay. The word here would be even more, brothers. Be certain. Okay? To make your calling and your election sure. Now, this is interesting. There are two words here that are utilized. Now, this is going to be a little bit theological. The word calling is a very simple word. It literally means simply an invitation. In its basic idea. That's all. It's a call. In other words, it's an invitation that is issued. This is a very general word. Okay? So, the Lord Jesus can call people to become His disciples. He can invite people to salvation. Now, that's your invitation. Do you know how to respond to it? Fine. Okay? Now, this is very important. Now, remember, there are two aspects to this. To salvation and to service. Now, you've got to, again here, at every point, make sure of this. Okay? Are you truly saved? Then certain things must follow. Do you want to serve? Certain things must follow as well. Okay? Now, let us say that we move on to the next word. And that word is called election. Now, let's turn to this book of Ephesians for a little bit. And we're going to see how this really, really works out. And this whole idea of election. Now, the word election will tell us very clearly it has to do with the doctrine of salvation. Okay? And we are... The word election is a big theological word that tells us that invitation is more than just an invitation here. It's a bigger word. It is the idea of being selected. The idea of being, as it were, chosen. Now, it's not something you claim. It is something that is evident. And so, for all the things that Paul talks about, all the blessings that are there. You see, the blessings that are in the life of a person that God intended, remember, the purpose is very clear. If we have been so blessed, we are now different. You see, so election must never be studied as a word that exists by itself. It cannot. That's why we talk about calling and election. There is a general calling for everybody. Anybody can speak of being called. To save, to be saved, and to serve. The election part of it is different. It is the idea of separation. Separate to me, Saul, Barnabas and Saul, for this work that I'm going to send them to do. But the selection is not yourself. It's never yourself. Now, take for example, I'm subject also, no matter how much I will speak of my calling or my election, I need to subject myself to the Lord and to the church as well. I think this is very important so that we understand how it really works. So if a person says, all right, here is my calling, the moment Peter puts this format across, he's now subject to this format that Peter has arranged. Make sure you're calling, add to your faith, and you want to add your virtue, knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness, or godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And the whole list would be there stated. So when a person says, I am elected to salvation, really? Show me. I'm elected, I'm called, elected to serve. Show me. I think this is very important. It's not a question of a wannabe. It's something that you can definitely prove. And so the idea of general calling, in other words, is not good enough. Because anybody can feel their call. There were many people who wanted to follow Jesus. Look, I want to follow you. No. Matthew 7, some even said, Lord, in your name, you know, we cast out demons. In your name, we did all these things here. And Jesus said, you know what? I never knew you. Because election has to do with, I know you. I've chosen you. I've elected you. Election is a particular doctrine that Presbyterians particularly preach upon. A lot of Methodists and Anglicans and Roman Catholics don't like this word. Because they prefer to say, I want to do my own thing. You know, I have freedom, I have this, I have that, I have choice and things like that. We don't. We absolutely believe that man in his own self cannot save himself. That the way of man is not in man. It has to be as God calls you, He will suitably equip you to do all that He has sent you to do. We are people called, elected by God, sent by God, separated by God, and He will prove it. This is my servant. That is important. It is a whole gamut of things, never just a single event. Does that answer your question, this question, election here? You see, here is a person who feels, let me give you an idea of how it works. I do not know whether you know what is the failure rate of people who fail after they have obtained what is known as the Master of Divinity in the U.S. There was in the 80s, there was a study. And then they changed the syllabus later on. The failure rate of people in this pastoral ministry is way above 50% failure. And that's terrible to say, because that's true. Why? I had a friend of mine, I'm just giving him a typical friend. This is, first, he felt he wanted to be a scientist. So he studied. You know, he studied first degree, Bachelor of Science. Second degree, he studied soil and, you know, and all that. So he wanted to work in the field. Then he realized that he got allergy problem. So he found that every time he goes to the field, he will break out and he's not suitable for him. Now, 2 degrees already. So he said, I think I will study another. So he went to study theology, went to seminary, did a master's in education, which reference to pastoral ministry, you know. So he found that the third degree, now he said, Pastor, I realize that. He was saying, you know, I'm not suited for the pastoral ministry. Seriously. So it's third degree. So he realized after 2 years as an assistant pastor, he's just not cut out to be a pastor. He just couldn't stand the pressures of the pastoral ministry and life. So the fourth degree, he went to study to become a lecturer at a university. So he went to do his doctoral degree. Problem is that he went to a place where his doctoral degree was not accredited. You know, some universities in the US are not accredited. Some are accredited. Fifth degree, he studied with me. He was my classmate for 4 years when he did his doctoral work, because he needed it to be accredited. And so he's now at Pensacola University as a full-fledged professor with his doctoral degree. You know, it's taken him 5 degrees to realize that's what he's best at. And he is a scholar. He really is. I remember once I went to a bookshop with him. So I said, you know something? Your name is in this book. He said, show me where. And he was cited footnote. He bought the book. Because he says, for the most well-discussed topic, see the book written by this person. I don't know, see his dissertation for a discuss. And he really knew his facts up. I thought I know stuff. This guy, my knowledge is biblical theology. His knowledge is in history. And he will cite name of book, author, year. Just like that. You know, from a person who wanted to do farming to a person to become professor at a university. And he's happy. Only problem is that he spent all his life studying. So I asked him how. When he said, he told me, Charles, I cannot retire. Because I owe the bank so much money. Every degree costs $100,000. I owe them so much I cannot retire. Even during the summer months, he takes on a job. And he's very good with children. He's not a pastoral person, but he's very good with children. So during his summer months, he has to earn extra. So he says, my earning extra is with speaking at children's camp and conferences and stuff like that. Just to make ends meet. He's got 5 children. I pity him. He drives an old beat-up car. He says, I cannot afford anything more than this. Is it possible for a person to be mistaken? Yes. I think that you probably realize that not everyone who is a doctor is a good doctor. I'm sure there are people who are just not there. You see, now you have a lot of GP who want to Botox people. Everywhere, because that's where the money is. You know, they have not studied all the problems associated with whatever work. It's okay, let's make some money now. And they charge left and right. Really, and it's terrible. So everyone is a cash cow for them. That's it. And it happens all the time. In any profession, that's true. There are some people who just can't wait to operate. They're not interested in it, just must operate. Let's go and see what's inside. It's terrible. I mean, can it happen that way? Yes. It really, really can. And so we want to be very, very careful as far as the Lord's work is concerned. This is important for us. Make your calling and your election sure. You say you are elected, make it sure. Determine that's what it is. Now, this is very important for us. Okay? Now we go on further to... Let's take a look at it once again. Now, it's interesting. Now, the word here, to make, how do you make a something sure? Now, in English, to make is simply a word, you know, like maybe ascertain it should be sure, right? If you were to use an English equivalent, you say, ascertain your calling to be sure, right? Right? In English. But it's not what it says in Greek. It is to actually make it. For example, God calls us His workmanship. It comes from the same word. Okay? You know that you have a true calling, a true election, if you can make it demonstrate that you really have such a calling. The word to make is not ascertaining. It's actually to create something, to do something about it. You see the difference between the two? I think this is important that we want to really, really appreciate. You know, some surgeons are so up on themselves. Their knots, the way they tie their knots, also got to flourish. I mean, there are some who are, I think, you know, and this person was saying, went in for, the surgery and things like that. I mean, you know, lots of things happen. In Singapore, lots of scary stories. They count the gauzes, things are left inside behind. I hope you're not done anything like that, Jane. But it happens, isn't it? In the past especially, I've known of people who came over here and then they found, hey, two gauzes inside. How can it happen? Oh, it can happen. But these are things that we all appreciate. So you have to make it. In other words, you've got to prove it. You've got to do it such a way. You really a call? That's what it is. It has to be obvious. That's the whole idea. In other words, you may imagine you have a calling, you have to make it such that you can demonstrate this is what it is. Otherwise, you can't. There was a very famous person who was once, he just felt he was called to serve the Lord. Went on the pulpit. They didn't have air conditioning those days, only fans. And then he brought his pile of notes there, went up there, the fan blew it. 8 pages of it went all over the place. And he didn't number it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So he didn't know where it went on there, and he said, brethren, I have just found out something very, very important. I must tell you, I'm not called to be a preacher. He said, I would just like to tell you what God has done in my life, though. For the next 45 minutes, he kept the church spellbound by his storytelling. And people told him, your calling is not to be a pastor, but boy, can you tell a story. That's true. He went on to be a very, very acclaimed lay person. He continued with his job. He was, you know, like Zig Ziglar. They are famous for their speaking skills. A lot of those motivational speakers will really put a lot of pastors to shame because of their skill in speaking. But you see, we're not into motivational business. We are into truth. Now, they can speak all those things, but they cannot rightly divide the word of truth. We must. We can. Can you see what I'm trying to get at? Okay, this is absolutely important for us to consider. All right. Now, we go on further to this morning's, before we head for lunch. Okay, let's take a look at what we are looking at now. We're looking at the challenge of putting on the new man. Now, this is absolutely important for us. It goes on further in Ephesians 4, Colossians 3 texts. And you look at this, and this is going to give us a better understanding of what it means. Chapter 4. And here we go. Okay? At verse 23, we read, now, this word here, and be renewed. Okay, look at this very carefully. In Ephesians chapter 4, and we see this thing here, and we go to Colossians 3 as well. You will see this as well. Verse 23, verse 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, notice the word. The word mind is still there. There's no escaping this. Okay? Renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23. And that you put on the new man, which has been created according to God in righteousness, in holiness of the truth. Okay? Now, let's take a look very carefully. What does this mean? Let's analyze this very carefully so that we can see what it really, really means. Okay, chapter 4. First, and be renewed. Okay, this is very important. The same idea is utilized. This is the use of the infinitive. Okay, question. What are the two uses of the infinitive in particular? Exam time. Okay, what? Porpoise. There must be a clear sense of purpose. You put on with a definite purpose in mind. What was the other one? The end idea, the talic. How do you remember? It's P-E or P-T, same. Physical exercise, physical training, whatever it is, you do this. Put on. Same idea, because you have to match it. These are called coordinates, John. Coordinates. Okay? So you put off. Same idea. You put on. Same idea. You have to match it. You don't match it, they're not coordinates. Can you see this? So when we look at this whole idea of putting on and putting off, what was the first one? The mind. What is this one? The mind. Obviously. You cannot say, but it's very hard, the mind. Can I just have the heart? No, it doesn't work. Okay? It's not something you want to easily set aside. You have to talk about a renewing of the mind. And this is absolutely important. The parallel is so obvious. The coordinate is very, very, very... Now, watch this very carefully. What do you mean by the spirits of the mind? Obviously, this is not just the brain. There is a difference between the brain and the mind. The brain is what you're born with. You know, the gray stuff, little curly-whirly stuff. You don't want to know what it is, what your brain looks like. Next time you go to those, they sell inner parts. And on Kam Thai, go and ask them for pig's brain. And you look at it, say, what a pig's brain is like? Almost like your sin. Because it is just simply mind, in a sense of brain matter. That's it. You can cut off the brain stuff. Okay? Much of our brain not utilized anyway. Because nobody knows what those things are there for. Seriously. If you use 10% of your brain, you are doing excellently. So when we lose our, not using our brain function, we already 10% not only utilized, 90% not utilized. You lose some more, you will reduce to very, very much lesser. So the person says, I'm not thinking. True. I wasn't thinking. Absolutely true. Because that's what we're talking about. What is the difference with the spirit of the mind? Now, Paul introduces us to the idea of the mind versus the brain. You see the difference between the brain and the mind? The brain is a physical thing. The mind goes beyond the physical thing. Okay? Sometimes we say, the bigger the fellow, the smaller the mind. I mean, with reference to creatures. Big elephant, pachyderm. Brain, not so big. That's why you can tie I saw a white elephant, like two white elephants in Burma. And the elephant was going. And I watched it. What's so special about white? I studied very carefully. And he was doing exactly like the other grey elephants, going up. And I watched it for half an hour until I got sick. What is this? Small elephant. Once the little elephant has been tied to the stake and cannot pull out, even when it is three times the size and has absolutely no problem pulling it up, it won't. You know why? Because the mind says, you cannot do it. You tried it before. It's not going to work. Don't try. And it won't. The only time when you will get out of it is when you have an emergency and then you do something about it. Otherwise, the brain is trapped there. There is a pneumaticos. There is a pneumatic level. That is the spirit of the mind that takes us beyond where you are. Okay? Now let's take a look at the things which are there. Go back to your previous set of notes and talk about the things which are there. The Gentiles here, represented by the Gentiles. Futility of the mind, darkness of the mind, ignorance that is there, alienated, and so on and so forth. Well, all these things are there. Okay? Now, watch this new mind here. All these old ways. The anger part, the thieving part, the lying part, the corruption part. It's all there. Okay? You cannot simply improve upon it. Being a Christian is not mere improvement. It's not. It's a totally new thing. What is this particularly? What is this new thing that we want to take a look at very, very carefully? Let's take a look. First, Ephesians 4:24 tells us that this is something that God created. So this may rightly be called a new creation. Okay, it's not as if I read a new book, okay, now I know better. No! It is an actual work of creation by God in the mind of the person. Last time you could not think this way, now you can. Now think this way. You are now created. Can you see this? So this is really what Paul calls in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that new creation. And this new work that we have is you put on this new man. Now, you will see that you are going to be living by different principles. You will be totally different, as it were. And this is something that there are three things that we need to look at. Well, if you're looking at the total image of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be four. But A, made in Christ's image, is such a huge concept by itself. I'm not going to touch on it. This is way too much to look into. But there we go. 4:24, we read, created in true righteousness. I can do this because there is righteousness here. I want to do this. There is truly this sense of righteousness. It's true. I mean, it's there. Can I do this? Why do I want to do it? Because I want to do it. Because the part of me says, you ought to do it. You know, do it righteously. No rewards, no nothing in mind. Just true righteousness. Is it possible? In holiness, the word holiness literally means in separation too. The idea of holiness is always the idea of being separated to something. Consecrated to something. Can I be consecrated to this thing here? Yes. Can I be really whole, completely given to this thing? Yes. Can I be totally dedicated? I must consider this. This is what it means. This is absolutely important. And in Colossians 3:10, we read, renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him. Knowledge. Again, knowledge. So it is really, really wonderful to see how we can go that way. So I'm looking at a new creation. You see, I'm not just talking salvation. And it's wonderful to see this new creation. It's absolutely wonderful, really wonderfully. I mean, it's just exciting. Can you see this? This is knowledge. This is wonderful. This is really, really great to have. And it's just wonderful in many ways. All right, questions you want to ask in this manner here before I take on the next one? Okay. I hope I'm not rushing a little bit, but it's very hard to fight against the stomach. Okay, but we will put on a new man and not think about the food. Okay, no matter what, we are not, no longer motivated by food. We are motivated by knowledge. And we are going to be working until 4 o'clock. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's work at this. Okay, let's look very carefully and look at this whole idea of how this works. We know it's creation. Now we talk about cultivation. Okay, verse 20. Verse 20 tells us, the contrast is here. But, the contrast is there. This all, look at verse 17, 18, 19, alright? Can you see this? That's the old Gentile perspective. In verse 20, Paul makes a contrast, but you have not so learned
Christ. Now that's interesting, the word here. You've not learned Christ. What does that mean? Okay, first, the word learned is where you get the word disciple. A disciple is a simply L-plate. Learner. So, Ben Kwa is driving. He was saying, my first driving lesson. Why so scary? Everything is there. You know, he has no problem with driving. It's the cars on the road that bothers him. So as the cars come, boom, panic, car stall. I said, you can't beat mine. Actual accident. At the end of my first few lessons, I told the school, this person must not be my teacher. The person retorted and said, this person will never be my pupil. So we both agree that we just cannot be for each other. It's absolutely true. L-plate. There is so much to learn. And it is all about learning. That's what we mean. You have not so learned Christ. If we stop learning, wherever we stop learning, we are in serious trouble. That's why we are constantly learning all the time. Learning all the time. So much to learn. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, you look at all these ways of the Gentiles, mind futile. That's not the way of Christ. I have not learned this from Christ. Darkened mind. No, that's not the way of Christ. Can you see this? It's learning. It's something that we need to look at. This is something that we want to, that you have not learned Christ. Literally means Christ is our teacher here. And this is absolutely important. Well, how can you say Christ is our teacher? Paul insists, goes on further. If indeed you have heard Him, have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Wait a minute. This is Ephesians. How can Paul write to people as if they were living in the days of Jesus? He is not. But yet he says, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, these are not the lessons Christ has taught you. If you have heard Him, if indeed, this is very interesting to see this. If indeed you have heard Him, verse 21, and you were taught by Him, just as the truth is in Jesus. You know, this is in the third pre-seminar meeting we had. I talked about the Thessalonian phenomenon. You know, if you really understand this, you will recognize that it is not me just teaching you. You will hear the very voice of the Lord Jesus speaking to you. And He will tell you, this is exactly what it should be. The person who teaches and preaches the Lord's word stands in a tremendous place where Paul says, as it were, by Christ, in Christ, we are beseeching you. You become the voice of the Lord Jesus. That is the ministry of the preaching and teaching work. It is such a holy and sacred calling. So that even as I speak to you, it's not what I'm saying. As the truth is, I use words. But beyond words, there is this thing called truth. And it is the Lord Jesus Himself who is communicating His truth to you concerning these things. And this is absolutely important. And you can see and you say, wow, you know what? I am so glad I am being taught by the Lord. That's how He teaches. And you can say, yes, this is how He teaches, and my part is to learn. Okay? I am being created. I am a new person. I am capable of such knowledge. Okay? I can be righteous. I can be separated to God. And that's how I want to live my life. And if this is not your lifestyle, then you're not called of God. Finish. Obviously. Right? That is very important. We begin with a simple example, being a kindergarten teacher. You're a kindergarten teacher, only 3 hours of work, right? Nothing else, right? Nothing more, nothing less, right? The answer is go and find another kindergarten. Because no, it's not. The parents must see in the school that love, that care, the devotion, the concern, and everything else. They want to see people who are really good, caring, genuine teachers. You cannot have a teacher who is anything less than being fully in touch with the students. That goes with any profession. Does it not? Now, make this our calling and see. This is what God calls us. So every believer, and I want to challenge you on this matter here, you really got to know your salvation. You got to know your faith in the Lord far more. Imagine Jesus as our great teacher. And this is what He does. What a wonderful... What is our excuse for not knowing? Morning by morning, He wakes us up. He wakes us up to listen. So that we have the ear of the learner. You think that has stopped for me after all these 35 years? I can just simply recall all the texts and all that? I can't. I don't. I don't even pretend. I work with the text afresh all the time. There is no other way. This is how we were created. Would you want to do it? Yes. You've got a calling to this ministry here? You would love what you're doing. Day in, day out. Year in, year out. Decade in, decade out. No greater love than this. Christ as a teacher, and then the mind is renewed. Can you see this? This is absolutely important here. This is the whole idea of being renewed. The word here, being renewed, literally means, as it were, like we see the word born again, renew. Okay? Born again, that's the idea. It's like new again. That's one of the things that I really love about reading the scriptures. Because every time I approach it, it's like new. It's so fresh. It's just so wonderful. Okay? And this is absolutely important for us to consider. Now, we must move on further quickly. Now, how do we know this new nature is there in us now? Verse 25, Paul says, and this is an important word very often. We call this an inferential particle. In studying Greek, we always tell ourselves, when you see therefore, the word therefore, you ask what it is there for. What is it there for? And this inferential particle means to say that by inference, if we follow this logically, therefore, it's going to work that way. Is that what I'm trying to say? If there is this new creation, If we have so learned Christ, if Christ is the one teaching us, we've heard Him. Therefore, there, you see, there, that's why it's therefore. You know, you love nothing better than to speak the truth. That's really, really, really important. That's speaking the truth all the time. Okay? Well, here we go. And there, verse 26, not given to wrath. Verse 27, you don't give place to the devil either. Now, this is strange. Why he suddenly brings in an evil one here? Because back in the mind of Paul, Ephesians 6 is there. Ephesians 2 is there. Ephesians 4 is there. The evil one is always there. I want to tell you this. He is always there. You give him half a chance. You give place to him. You just give him a little bit of place here. Literally, a topo. You give him a bit of ground and he will come in. Okay? There we go. Verse 28. Rather let him labor. The word here is a very good word. It sounds like kopi. In Greek, it's kopiao. That also sounds like kopi. And the word here is a person who works so hard. He works and he is not going to quit working until he's finished what he's done. This is the laborer. You see, you change. Your whole approach is, I want to labor hard. I've had old pastors who ask me, Charles, why you want so many services for? Just have one. Everybody come. Let them go and sort out their own problem. Yeah, just one. Why you must have evening service and children and teens and young? Why evening service? Why? Why to make it so hard for yourself? Because it's natural. You cannot but work hard. That's the new nature. The new nature of a person is a hard-working person. Can you see this? It's very, very obvious. These are obvious things. Look at this. Okay? Go on further. You edify with good words. Verse 29. No corrupt word, please. Only what is good for necessary edification. So they will impart grace to the hearers. There we go. It's important. We just cannot but speak that way. Our speech also affects it. The way we speak, what we do, how we work, that's the new nature. It's important. So why it's just inconsistent with a person who says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a great worker, but actually I'm a lazy one. It doesn't work. It really, really doesn't work. And then we read both. Okay, we read, wow, suddenly Genesis 4:39. 29, please. Not 39. If you can find 4:39, I buy you dinner. Okay? The best dinner in town, 4:39. 4:29. Not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, if we continue to live in the old lifestyle, we are grieving the Holy Spirit all the time. That's very obvious. That's absolutely obvious on this matter here. So, there we go. All the other things. Okay, we put away all those things. And this is the challenge of it all. Okay, this is absolutely in chapter 5, we see this. Therefore, there we go. Be imitators of God. As children, beloved. That's how it should be. See, that's how God made us. It's like an imprint. You know what an imprint is? You know, they always say animals, especially some animals. And if you were to have the first thing that the thing sees when it opens its eyes, it will be mama. And I've read stories of how geese adopt a human person as mama. That's it. And will be totally dedicated. First imprint, mama, human being, two legs. That's it. You know, that's where God made us to. We were meant in this new creation, this new nature. We were meant to imitate God. If you understand what it means, then that's what it is. We were meant to live the way. All this bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, put away. Imitate God instead. And that is the challenge of it all. So if I really want to look at my old, my new nature, the first thing I would want to do is to cultivate knowledge. I don't know how you look at knowledge, because most people look at knowledge, they first look at the size of the book. Then they count the number of pages. Then they see whether they got pictures or not. They want to see in between chapters whether it's a full blank page or not. Then they see the print of it all. And then they read. After they read two chapters, they look, wow, still so much more to go. That's what your attitude is. Rethink. That's not the nature God has created for us. There must be a cultivation of knowledge on our part. Now, you notice that Paul is always speaking of things, you've got to do this, 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 you've got to do this. It focuses on application. Theology without application is absolutely defective. You've got to be able to apply this. And you want theory for a lot of things, plenty of theories. But the challenge is not theory. The challenge is application. And you'll find that in all of these things here, there is no other way. It is a constant in your life. You know, up there we got a few more fishes. Out of the hundreds of fishes that were born, only two survived. And now Victor brought in some more fishes, some more fish up there. And every day they're growing bigger. I tell you, some of them were going to grow fat again. And they're just like teenagers, you know. Running here, running there, swimming here, swimming there. They don't know how to swim sedately, slowly, dignified. They don't. All the time. Waves. All the time. And that's how they are. That's the nature, as it were. And they will come. The day when they will just take their place. With great dignity, swim. But right now, no, they have not discovered themselves yet. So they're learning bit by bit. And it's important for us to consider. God made us in a certain definite way. And He made us with Christ in mind. You want to know exactly how to live? You study the Gospels and you see how Christ lived. And you say, this is how I should live. It is never one aspect. It is 100 different things. And you find, wow, so this is what it is to be a Christian. You know, we should enjoy learning. So this is what it means to be a Christian. Okay, knowledgeable one, let me be. Let me be. So you ask me, I want to know. You ask me, I don't know. What is that? You cannot not know. Knowledge, cultivate it. How is it done? Do it. Not theory. Practice. Until it becomes a natural part of your life. It really is. It's absolutely important. You know, I saw the Paralympics only a little bit. Didn't have time. And I saw one part of it, a group of volleyball players, girls, women. And I was just absolutely touched. Okay? You know how those men are? Whenever they strike, or the women are with a real runner, and then they will win, they'll put down their hair, they'll hit each other, you know, and hit high five, low five, middle five, whatever it is, you know, and then there they were. Seated. Because they cannot stand. No legs to stand. No, they had legs, but no power, no strength to stand on. Just sit there. Everyone quite big size, fat like anything, to put it bluntly. Because you've been sitting down all the time. And then I see them play. They will throw up. Their hands can still work and serve the ball. And the other side, sad, you know, they cannot return the ball because can only stretch so far and no more. But they try. And half the time, they are stretching themselves and falling down, hurting themselves as it were. But it didn't matter to them. They stretched themselves. They really occupied themselves and they serve the, they return the ball. They cannot smash too high. I see some of them falling down. Falling down is painful. Never mind. And if they win a point, seems like a tame point compared to the actual one. They would stretch their hand to each other, high five, and everything, happy like anything. And they're all grown up people. And I look at them and I say, wow. Don't laugh at the people who are gold champions, you know, gold winners and all that. They swim. They swim faster than you can walk. And they are handicapped. And Chen Xiang will tell us about a little bit about that. And it says, came from his school. This gold winner. You know, you look at their life and you say, wow, so this is how they are. Can you imagine? Less than normal, as it were. Born without certain of these things here, or along the way, disease ridden. And yet, they would make their lives count. You know, that's what God calls us to do too. It begins here with our mindset. If you tell us that, too hard, that's it. Wow, so difficult. Me, every day, can I take 135 or not? As long as you start bargaining on this 135, must I devote myself all the time? Me, every seminar must come. As long as you think this way, welcome to the mind of the mindset of the Gentiles. You are still here. I can't wait to get out of it. That is my old past. This is the new me. You know what? I am not going to. I'm not going to fail this one. I am going to succeed. I have failed too many things, too many times. I am going to succeed. If ever there is one thing I want to do, is I want to succeed in this area and nothing going to stop me. Do I have to get up in the morning? I will get up in the morning. I work till late at night? I work late at night. What do I need to do, Lord? What do I need to do? You just say it. Consider it. That's absolutely important. You know, if you have a chance to look at your life and do it all over again. Look, come on, we wasted so many years of our life. When we were children, we don't know what's happening. We get out, first word play. 10 years, 20 years of our life, play. Okay, when you are, you know, still don't know what's happening, all right. But please don't extend it too far more. 20 years is a long time. You don't want it, give it to me. You don't want those 20 years, I would love them. Please, pray.
This is important. This is important. I wish we would do something in life. Let me pray about this. Let me do something about my life. Let me pray and say, oh, so this is my life. Look, my mind is different. Wow. My language, different. My heart, different. My spirit, different. You mean I can cultivate all these things? What will it amount to? Never barren. Always fruitful. Why wouldn't I want this life? You see your call? That this is the only thing. Don't talk about anything else. There is nothing in between for excuses. That's important. Right? We must look at this very carefully. What a challenge it is to make our lives count for the Lord. This will help us to count for the Lord, and let's live this life. Let's really live this life and live it well. Okay? Think about this. Well, let's pray and then let's break for lunch. Our Father, we just want to thank you for the challenge to live as we were meant to. We just want to rejoice in this new creation that we've just read about. And to see your plan unfolded. We pray, Father, that you will create within us truly a new mindset. And this will be renewed again and again to find the joy and the power of living as we were meant to. We pray that you would bless us as we continue to study your word today. Refresh us, we pray, in Jesus' name.